This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. See if you try.
People are starving in the street.
Hasta diga, Ivo, why?
Hasta diga, Ivo, why?
Hasta diga, Ivo, why? I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. Hasta diga, Ivo, why?
Hasta diga, Ivo, why? We haven't played that song for a while from the musical, The Book of Mormon. And no, hasta diga, Ivo, why does not mean bless you, God. What it actually means, we can't say on the air. I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves, and this is the weekend of July the 14th, 2012. Free Thought Radio is produced and we broadcast from Madison, Wisconsin. We also podcast a few days later after the broadcast, and we broadcast in some other cities around the country, including in Monterey, California, was one of them.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and FFRF has two purposes. We serve as the nation's largest association of atheists and agnostics and the like-minded, and we work diligently to get religion out of government, to uphold the constitutional separation of state and church as required by the First Amendment of our Constitution.
Hasa diga ibowai. In the second half of today's show, we are going to talk about Africa.
Our guest will be Leo Igwe, a leader in the Nigerian humanist movement.
No, he is the leader of the Nigerian humanist movement.
And he's going to talk about the hostile religious climate in Nigeria and the status of freethinkers on the African continent.
And Leo Igwe was arrested and he was put in jail, and you'll never guess why.
And before we talk about some other news, I just wanted to say hello to all of the student friends we made last weekend at the Secular Student Association's annual meeting.
Secular Student Alliance.
And they were kind enough to give me a Backbone of Free Thought Award. And one of our staff attorneys, Andrew Seidel, spoke about getting a job in the Free Thought movement. And there were, Jessica Alquist was there. There were so many friends, Hemet, Mehta,
the friendly atheist.
And they said it was a record for them. I think it was almost 300.
Wow.
Mostly students turning up from around the country, including high schoolers, including Max Nielsen, who's our student activist awardee from high school.
From South Carolina.
Reunion with Harrison Hopkins, who was our activist from last year from South Carolina. And he's busy working now on his Presbyterian campus to promote free thought. And Duncan Henderson from who's about 16 now, who was one of our student activist awards last year in Alabama, was there. So it was old school week, or new school week, I should say. So it was a lot of fun.
So speaking of students, we have some student interns in our office, and one of them just had an impressive victory. Tell us about this. What happened in Virginia?
Yeah, this week FFRF halted illegal prayer, illegal sectarian prayer, before the Henrico County Board of Supervisors, which meets in Henrico, Virginia, and they agreed to drop a 25-year tradition. They agreed on Tuesday after they received a letter from us. Our staff attorney, Patrick Elliott, with the help of JJ.
JJ Rawling is one of the summer student interns at the foundation.
Sent a very strong objection after getting a complaint from a local resident to the overtly Christian prayer that are being hosted by this county board meeting. And as Patrick pointed out, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, which governs Virginia, among other states, has had a solid trio, I think, or maybe it's a quartet of victories, of decisions against sectarian prayer, saying that it's a violation of the Constitution. And Patrick pointed that out and pointed out that it compounds the violation when you have government prayer to also make it sectarian. thereby making religious minorities and non-believers feel like political outsiders. And we got a very gracious, very quick response from Henrico County Attorney Joseph Rapisardo, who told the local NBC affiliate that it was simply easier and would offend no citizens and frankly would be more inclusive simply not to have prayer. So what do you say to that?
Amen.
And then we did want to talk a little bit about another activist thing going on in Texas on another part of the American continent. We have a member in Houston who, in very interesting story, sold some artifacts from a Cecil B. DeMille movie, made some money on it, and is donating the proceeds to lease a billboard for the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And he chose our JFK message that's been on bus signs primarily. This is the biggest billboard we've had. I think it's a 14 by 48 footer in Lubbock, Texas. So we have some coverage of that.
How ironic. A national atheist group has a religious movie to thank for a billboard professing its beliefs. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, based in Madison, Wisconsin, placing a 14 by 48 foot sign on the west side of Interstate 27, 1 mile north of Lubbock International Airport. That billboard reads, "I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute." It quotes JFK's famous speech at a presidential candidate before the Greater Houston Ministerial Association. The co-president of the National State Church Watchdog Organization, Dan Barker, says it's not targeting Lubbock in particular. The billboard was donated by an FFRF member out of Houston who got the advertising space in exchange for a movie prop.
Some chairs that were in the Ten Commandments movie, he sold them to a buyer. And for one of the chairs, they just made a deal. They traded this chair for this billboard that this buyer happens to own. So Lubbock happened to be just sort of a nice accident.
That chair, valued at $10,000, was actually in the movie The Bible. It's going to keep that billboard message up for 6 months. Barker says FFRF believes President Kennedy's bold statement is especially relevant in the current political climate.
And again, that statement is from his speech to the Houston Ministerial Association as a candidate, where he said, "I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute." We have launched a national ad with JFK's words, but we also have it on a billboard.
A lot of members in Lubbock, Texas as well.
And we don't know why the reporter there said that it wasn't the Ten Commandments movie. That's what we were told. But Cecil B. DeMille did make a whole bunch of religious movies, so we'll get to the bottom of it. But regardless of which movie it was, we're getting quite a kick out of it. And then we did get a huge kick last Sunday, and those of you who caught the Bill Moyers show, we hope you did as well, in seeing one of our most distinguished FFRF members, one of Freethought's most distinguished writers, being interviewed by Bill Moyers, and that would be Philip Appleman, who is a scholar of Darwin and also a wonderful poet, and he has a column, a regular column called Heads Up, on page 4 of our newspaper, Free Thought Today.
And he's been interviewed on this show.
And we want to play the most of that interview next week, but we don't have time for it this week. But we do want to listen in on the part where Bill Moyers asks Phil about his personal views on the meaning of life.
You had this remarkable essay that had a profound impact on me a few years ago on how the meaning of life comes out of the moment you're acting, out of your choices, every moment of how you will live that life. Meaning is not out there, you say. It is in the doing of the moment.
Right. You create your own definition, you create your own meaning as you act. I was brought up in a small Indiana town, went to a fundamentalist church, and when I was about 13, thought my mission was to be a missionary to darkest Africa and bring the message. That cleared away in a couple of years later. But
why did it clear away?
I kept reading books and finding out things, and after a while I realized that what I believed in didn't have much to do with reality. And I studied Catholicism for a while, and I went on to take on all the other belief systems. I read all the holy books of the Quran and the Buddhists and the Hindus. And I spent years doing that, searching for the meaning of life out there, And eventually having gone through it all, decided I had to decide on these things for myself. And so I left the holy books behind and started making my own philosophy of life, which pretty much is in the essay you were talking about. I consider myself a humanist, not just an atheist, but a humanist.
Which means?
Means someone who wishes he could work for the betterment of the human condition without reference to supernatural things.
Next week, we will hear more of Philip Appleman reading some of the poems that he read on that show.
Coming up, we have FFRF's full-page ad being read by a national radio host. It was the ad that appeared last week in the Los Angeles Times. And after the break...
We're going to talk by telephone with Leo Igwe. He's the leader of the Nigerian humanists, and we're going to talk about, well, many things. He's got quite a story to tell, pretty chilling, but especially about the status of non-belief in Africa. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
I'm Tanya Walker. I'm from Lowell, Massachusetts, originally from Idaho, and I am an out-of-the-closet atheist.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We are co-directors of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, an educational charity based in Madison, Wisconsin, working to keep religion out of government and to promote the views of our members who are atheists and agnostics. And we hope you will join us today, not someday.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation's revolutionary July the 4th full-page ad in the Los Angeles Times did not go unnoticed.
We got a lot of excited people telling us that they heard a national host, a radio host, Norman Goldman, on the Norman Goldman Show. That's normangoldman.com. Read the entire ad and actually talk about it for probably about an hour.
Well, Jackie says we're also just getting a lot of people responding to the ad itself from the LA Times.
And so we thought it would be fun to actually play Norman Goldman reading the ad.
But I got to share this with you. I opened up my Los Angeles Times. I get it delivered just like all my neighbors do, you know, in paper form. And yes, we recycle. Well, here's from July 4th. This is, you know, Independence Day. A full page ad at the back of the main news section. And it says right at the top in big letters in the middle, "It's time to quit the Catholic Church." Open letter to liberal or nominal Catholics. It's your moment of truth. And there's a little cartoon there of somebody in a priest's smock, I guess they call it. Look, I'm Jewish, so bear with me here. But it's a cartoon of a guy who looks like a priest sitting behind a desk, and over his head it says, "Family planning." And there's a woman sitting at the desk looking at him, and the priest says, "Plan on a family." All right. This is a full-page ad from a thing called Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. And above it, it says, "Freedom depends on free thinkers." And I have been advocating free thinking right here on the Norman Goldman Show. "Will it be reproductive freedom or back to the dark ages?" Reading from the ad. "Do you choose women and their rights, or bishops and their wrongs? Over 40 Roman Catholic institutions are suing the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to halt the contraceptive insurance mandate, endangering the rights of all female employees. In light of the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops' war against women's right to contraception, why are you aiding and abetting a church that has repeatedly engaged in a crusade to ban contraception, abortion, and sterilization, to deny the right of all women everywhere, Catholic or not, to decide whether and when to become mothers? Think of the acute misery, poverty, needless suffering, unwanted pregnancies, overpopulation, social evils, and deaths that can be laid directly at the door of your church's pernicious doctrine that birth control is a sin and must be outlawed. If you think you can change the church from within, get it to lighten up on birth control, gay rights, marriage equality, embryonic stem cell research, you're deluding yourself. By remaining, quote, a good Catholic, you are doing bad to women's rights. You are an enabler, and it's got to stop. It's a disgrace that U.S. healthcare reform is being held hostage to your church's irrational opposition to medically prescribed contraception. No political candidate should have to genuflect before the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. President Obama has compromised, but the church never budges. Instead, it is launching a ruthless political inquisition in your name. The louder your church hysterically claims, quote, offense against religious liberty, the harder it works to take away women's liberty. Your church has introduced into Congress a bill to allow dogma to trump the civil rights and private consciences of employees. Cardinal Timothy Dolan, president of the U.S. Catholic Conference, orchestrated a dozen federal lawsuits filed by 43 Catholic institutions attacking the contraceptive mandate. The church that hasn't persuaded you to shun contraception now wants to use the force of secular law to deny birth control to non-Catholics. You're better than your church, so why stay? Why put up with an institution that discriminates against half of humanity? Why send your children to parochial schools to be indoctrinated into the next generation of obedient donors and voters? Don't you see how misplaced your loyalty is after two decades of sex scandals involving praying priests, and they spell that P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, as in predatory, priests, church complicity, collusion, and cover-up going all the way to the top? Join those of us who put humanity above dogma. As Thomas Paine observed, quote, my own mind is my own church. We invite you to free yourself from incense-fogged ritual, from ideas uttered long ago by ignorant men, from blind obedience to an illusory religious authority. Life begins at excommunication. Pretty good stuff, huh? Quote, as a member of the flock of an avowedly anti-democratic old boys club, isn't it time you vote with your feet? Please exit en masse. And they spell mass M-A-S-S. It's a play on words. It should be M-A-S-S-E. Please exit en masse, which means in droves, but they left off the E as a play on words, en masse, as in you go to mass. And this is from an organization, Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. I will post a link to them on our Facebook page, The Norman Goldman Show, and at our blog. They didn't know I was going to do this. They never heard from me. But now that I've done it, I'm going to send them a big chunk of change. They have a new enrollee, Norman Goldman. And I suggest that you give this some serious thought. Check these people out. Because in America, true patriots, real Americans like me and like you, believe that people are free to be free from religion. And it is way past time that all of these man-made religious institutions get their dirty claws off the law. The law is our property, all of us, and it should not be a weapon by some religion claiming to be God's will. And it is only when fiercely independent people stand up and smack down the bullies are we going to take back our freedom. And right now, the Roman Catholic Church hierarchy is being a bully. They want to control this country, and I say enough. And I'm really glad to see that the Freedom From Religion Foundation has enough money and enough guts to take on the Roman Catholic Church and take out a full-page ad in the Los Angeles Times. Freedom from religion is just as American as freedom to worship. And if you don't know that, and if you don't believe that, and if you don't espouse that, you're a bad American.
So now it's my turn to say amen to all that. And Norman Goldman made good on his word. Not only did he join us, he actually called and interviewed me for his show. And then after the interview was over, he said, well, can I give you my credit card? So it was very cool.
So, maybe we can hear some of that show in the future?
I think it's up at our website. There's links so you can hear the whole thing, and it was really fun.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned for Leo Igwe. He's the leader of the Nigerian Humanists.
And he's going to tell us about the difficulties of promoting reason and science in a country, in a continent, dominated by superstition and witchcraft, quote unquote.
Hi, I'm Tim Lavelle from New Jersey, and I'm an out-of-the-closet atheist.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we played earlier on the show some music from the Book of Mormon, Hasadiga Ibowai, about missionaries to Africa. Today we're going to be talking about the reverse. We're very happy to finally have Leo Igwe on our show. Leo is the leader of the Nigerian Humanist Movement. I met Leo in Cameroon a few years ago, and I was really impressed with his style and his knowledge and his compassion and his deep concern for the many problems caused by religion on the continent of Africa. We tried to get him on the show a couple years ago, but we had some technical problems. So I told Leo that as soon as he visited the United States, we would have him immediately on the show. And this is his first visit to the United States. So Leo, welcome to Free Thought Radio.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dan.
And you finally did make it to America, and you arrived, last week to speak at the amazing conference with James Randi in Las Vegas.
Yes, that is true.
And how does the weather in Las Vegas compare with the weather in Nigeria?
Yeah, well, I think it's so hot here. I must tell you, yesterday the temperature was so high, in fact, higher than what I was used to when I was in Nigeria. I was actually wondering whether we were in the middle of Sahara Desert.
Well, you're in the middle of a desert.
Yeah.
So you actually didn't come from Nigeria. You've been in Germany for a while. In fact, we saw you in the month of May in Cologne, Germany, for the Atheist Alliance International Conference.
Yes, a professor at the University of Germany who was impressed by the work I've been doing helped me get a position to further the work by doing research for the next 3 years on witchcraft accusation in Africa.
Witchcraft?
Yes, yeah. Witchcraft accusation. So that's a huge problem for us in Africa, and it has so many dimensions. So that is it, and that's what I'm going to be doing within the next 3 years.
You know, it's interesting that that you're in Germany to research witchcraft, because that was really the hub of the German witch hunts in the Western world.
Yeah, yes. In fact, my professor is actually a specialist when it comes to witch hunting in Europe, and he's given me a lot of text and publications on witch hunting in Europe. And it's interesting, you know, to find out that there's a lot of similarities, you know, there are common patterns. And it's unfortunate that humankind went through this centuries ago, and we're still going through this in Africa, even in the 21st century.
Well, before we talk about the problem of witchcraft accusations in Africa, could we talk a little bit more about your background? You weren't always a free thinker.
Yeah, I actually was born into a religious family. So, and as we know, our parents always shape and influence the belief of their children, you know, to people become independent and they grow up. So, and I did most of my education in Catholic seminaries. And in other words, I was trained, you know, to be a priest. But somewhere along the line, I changed my mind and I left the training and I decided, you know, to be on my own. And of course, I discovered the free thought movement. But all the while, when I was in the seminary, I was burning with doubts. You know, we were sent to villages and communities to preach to people, to convert people, and all that. And while I was doing this work, I was having my doubts. You know, I was not actually convinced of what I was doing, but I was doing those things because that was a requirement, you know, for me, you know, to be in the seminary, to keep getting the education and all that. But as I was growing up, particularly when I started studying philosophy, I started questioning. And at a point, I felt that, you know, I needed to live a happy life. And the best way I thought was to leave the seminary and go open as a free thinker. And, of course, I went further to start a humanist and free thought movement.
So you were an African missionary to Africa. Are you Igbo in Nigeria?
Yes, yes, I'm Igbo. I'm from the southeast. I'm Igbo.
How do you say hello in Igbo?
Kedu.
Kedu.
Nana. Imela.
Imela. Yeah,
so many ways you can say that.
I want to tell you something. Maybe you can identify. When we were in Cameroon, we were with those free-thinking students in Yaoundé, you remember? And yeah. So we went to the beach. We went over to Kribi, to the beach. And I said, oh, let's go out in the water. It was nighttime. And so I took off my shoes. I was going out into the Atlantic Ocean. But they were holding back. And they were saying, no, Dan, no. Mami wata. Mami wata. And I said, what's the matter with you guys? They said, there's this, what is it, a witch of the waters that steals you if you go out at night or something? Is that happen in Nigeria too?
Yes, yes. Particularly along the coast. There is this belief there is a mermaid spirit, there's a water spirit, and that water spirit is dangerous, and it operates particularly when people are not there, you know, when the place is isolated or when it is dark, mainly when it is dark. So it could kill you, could kidnap you, and things like that. The fact is that just like God and spirit, nobody can say, yes, I have seen it. The people will always tell you, oh, it looks like this, it looks like that, it has the leg is like that of a fish or something, and it's beautiful, it's a woman, of course it's never a man.
But I want to tell you, I convinced them to come out with me into the water. So they were real free thinkers.
Yeah. You see, these beliefs are very basic, they're traditional. You know, people grow up with them. And sometimes, you know, questioning them is a gradual process. I know that even people who are free thinking, like in this case, of course, they have some suspicions. Ah, is this thing really true? Or don't you think this thing has some elements of truth in it and all that? So I'm not surprised that you had that kind of encounter with them.
Now, speaking of these, of superstitions and things like this, you've been doing all this work and research on witchcraft. And this was, I saw your presentation in Germany, and I was totally shocked. I didn't realize the extent of the belief continuing in witchcraft and the extent of persecution. So can you tell our listeners more about what's going on?
Yeah, what's going on is that Africa is still at the stage Europe was centuries ago in terms of witch hunting. In other words, is going on there in many states, headed by community leaders, state leaders. The belief is very strong. The abuses are condoned and perpetrated by state and non-state actors. Little or nothing is being done to dispel the superstition and to provide alternative explanations, common sense-based explanations, to incidents that people attribute to witchcraft. So it's as bad as in families, when young children die, they blame the old woman there. In Burkina Faso, they call such women mangeuse d'âme, soul eaters. So it's believed that these women, they eat the soul of young people in order to extend their lives. Sometimes children are victims because adults blame them, you know, for the problems, you know, that they use witchcraft to cause their failure, poverty, misery. Of course, we know these are problems that are there in Africa. But children are made scapegoats. Old people are made scapegoats. So the problem is very entrenched. And there are very few skeptical voices who are speaking out. There are very few skeptical activists who are taking action there, piloting programs, conducting public awareness, public education programs to reason people out of this superstition. So that is just the situation we find ourselves. And that's what I've been engaging with, and with other free thought activists, a few of them out there on the continent in the past few years.
Now, does the belief in witchcraft predate Christianity in Africa?
Yeah. Number one, Christianity is a religion that also teaches, promotes witchcraft on its, in its own.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because Exodus 22:18 says,
"Thou shalt not suffer to live." Yeah.
Yes. And the Africans take this literally. So it is like, oh, even the Bible, even the Christians, even Christianity, even the Europeans, oh, they believe in witchcraft too. So Christianity is reinforcing the belief. Christianity is complicating the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity is peddling belief in demonic possession, which has, you know, which is not too different from belief in the possession of witchcraft. So Christianity is part of the problem, and that is why is really complicating our efforts to address, you know, all problems related to witchcraft beliefs.
Now tell us your story, Leo. You were complaining about witchcraft, and you became a victim.
Yeah, well, victim in the hands of witchcraft believers, victim in the hands of people who use that as a basis of power, politics, and business. First of all, victim in the hands of Helen Okpabio and her church members. We organized a seminar to enlighten the people, and Okpabio, who owns a church, Liberty Gospel Church, a witch hunting church, mobilized and sent our church members to beat us up, disrupt our meetings, and even sued us to court. You know, and of course she lost. Also, victims in the hands of government officials who are not ready to address the problem, but who want to give impression to the world that they are addressing the problem, and who see or who look at what we're doing as maybe trying to give the state government a bad image. Yeah, so last year I was arrested and beaten up by police officers, and you know, they said that we are giving the state government bad image through our work, and of course they accused us of making money and all that, but that's not the real issue and all that. So that is it. So that's the risk you know, one we have been running the past few years, and we'll still continue to forge ahead.
We'll talk more about that after the break. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. This is Free Thought Radio. We're speaking with Leo Igwe, who is the leader of the Nigerian humanist movement, about witchcraft and Christianity and Islam. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. That's a little bit of Nigerian music playing by somebody named Tete Mobumuo. And we're speaking on the phone with Leo Igwe, who is the leader of the humanist movement in Nigeria and has been involved with many other countries in Africa. And Annie Laurie Gaylor is here. And Leo, before the break, you were telling us that you were arrested, and you kind of went by that really fast. You were put in jail then.
Yes, yes. I must tell you, I was put in jail and unprepared. I wasn't prepared for that. It came by surprise.
So I bet it wasn't as nice as your Las Vegas hotel room.
I was in a room with around 50 people.
Wow.
Yes, 50 people, and we had some two cans or something, a container, two containers. You urinate into one and you defecate into one. So as soon as we were brought into the place, they quickly told us to sit beside, you know, the container where they put where they defecate and urinate. We did not know. We just got later to know. We later got to know. So, and they just had to pack us to sleep. You sleep. I don't know the way to describe it, but one person's leg will be this way and your head will be the other, the opposite.
Wow.
So in order to allow us to sleep, that was the way we were sleeping. And all that. But I never slept, I must tell you. I never slept.
Well, how long?
But I had to stay that way for some time. Then I was given some beating, so my head was swollen. So I used that position to just press my head against the floor, you know, just to massage it, because I didn't want to have some kind of operation later on. You know, so there was no food. They never gave us food at all. It was only the next day that maybe the friends of my driver, you know, and they brought something, and I could not eat in that environment because people had sores all over their body and all that. So I must tell you that I never believed on earth that there was a place like that where Nigerians were treated that same way.
And you were accused. You were accused simply of what? What were you charged with?
No. They said that, of course, they said this was kidnapping. You know, because what happens in Nigeria is that when they want to arrest you, they want to arrest you. So they can accuse you of anything. Yes, you can be accused of anything. So they said it was kidnapping. But I told them, where is the proof? Now, when I told them we were working with children, they said, oh, you are part of those giving the state a bad image and making money, you know, claiming you are rescuing children when you are not. So another. So it's a corrupt system, you know, where anything goes, and they don't care about, you know, the treatment they mail out to individuals. Once they want you, they go after you right away.
And so, but you, how did you get sprung? How did you get out?
No, how I got out was that I had to call my family. Then when I called my family, then they now alerted an online newspaper. They call it the Sahara Reporters. So Sahara Reporters now put the news out there. Then they informed my employers. Then they started calling the police chief in that state. And when they informed them, they started putting pressure on them. So they just came the second day and told me to come out and put on my clothes and go home.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, you were, during the break, you were saying you wanted to talk a little bit about the Muslim problems with the Muslim religion in Nigeria.
Yes. Actually, because right now my country is almost being overrun by Boko Haram, which is an Islamic fundamentalist group. And we appear not to be making any progress, you know, because of the fact that this group has a lot of support, you know, coming from the Maghreb, from Middle East and all that. It's important we understand that Boko Haram is an Islamist group. It has an Islamist agenda, and it has support from outside Nigeria, and that this group has targeted the UN building. They have targeted the embassies. They have targeted individuals. They are targeting and bombing churches.
I mean, you're saying they're bombing them?
You said?
You're saying when they target, you mean they're bombing them?
When they target means that sometimes they plan to bomb.
I see.
And sometimes the plan will be uncovered. Or they actually bomb. Like the UN building was bombed, I think that was maybe 2 years ago or so, or last year, I'm not sure. I think last August. They bombed the UN building, you know, in Abuja, and all that. So they have bombed media houses, you know, and all that. So what I want to say here is that, you know, they have international support. So it needs international response. And again, they are being recruited. People are being brainwashed. Many Nigerians are being brainwashed by this Muslim fundamentalist networks. You know, another, and it is important that the campaign to de-brainwash them also starts, because if the brainwashing is not properly addressed, you know, they will keep turning themselves to merchants of death and destruction.
So what are the Nigerian humanists What can you possibly do against this Islamic and Christian fundamentalism and witchcraft in your country? What is your group trying to do?
Well, providing the rational alternative. Yes.
Hear, hear.
That is it. Because, you see, we don't have guns. We don't have guns. Our guns are debates, discussion, free thought meetings, questioning, critical thinking. We want to get Nigerians to understand that the Bible was written by human beings. The Quran was written by human beings. It was not written by God or Allah. This is their life. There's no evidence there that a spirit, you know, wrote a book or dictated a book any time in history. And that we should look at these books critically and not allow people to, you know, get us to commit harm and atrocious acts, all in the name of practicing our religion. So what we're trying to do is to wake them up from their dogmatic slumber, from their religious slumber. That's what we're going to do, and that's what we'll keep doing. How long we're going to do that, I don't know. But we'll have to remain on that path till we get the necessary intellectual awakening and enlightenment.
But even my free-thinking friends in Cameroon were still a little bit afraid. There's a lot of fear among the people.
Yes, these are fears that have been planted in them since they were born. So just one form of free-thinking cannot get all of them away. Yes. So that will tell you the scale of the problem, the challenge we have. The fears are still there. But you see, we need a space for this to let free, you know, get people to express these fears and, you know, let free themselves from these fears. So that is why a sustained humanist and free thought program is the way, is the solution. People might interpret it in any other way. Oh, you're trying to impose an ideology on people. You're trying to impose a theism. It's all about imposing a theism. It's all about liberating people from these crippling fears,
now,
from these deadening and
Leo,
fears.
Thank you so much. We are out of time. How can people contact you or the Nigerian humanists?
Well, I think they can contact me through my email address. Right now, we are still trying to set up a website. So, humanistleo@hotmail.com. That will get me to me. Or nskepticleo@yahoo.com.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Leo. Well, maybe we'll talk later in the future. We also want to thank our producer and engineer, Dave McCann, Buzz Kemper, our announcer. Find out more about our show at ffrf.org/radio.
And find out more about our organization at ffrf.org. Join us and tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday